Welcome to the Second Thought podcast, where we train the crosshairs of reason on the broadcast output of Thought for the Day from the BBC. Coming up is our review of a relatively recent God Bulletin from Radio 4. Thought for the Day, for those who don't know, is a three-minute radio segment that's put out by the BBC Monday to Saturday about 7:45 each morning. It routinely allows presenters who are exclusively followers of one religion or another, to make nonsensical claims and defy reason with no apparent accountability for facts or for logic. Here at Second Thought, we aim to provide that accountability. More broadly, we believe that Thought for the Day has become a consistent spout of unacceptable poor quality broadcasting. We believe it to be so riddled with errors that it runs directly counter to the BBC's own editorial standards, which demand due accuracy. Until that changes, we're going to be here ridiculing the unintended howlers, the deliberate biases, and the incoherences, and all of the other delights that pepper the ill-thought-out musings of those presenting Thought for the Day with a deficit of curiosity and an excess of faith. This podcast is in response to the BBC's Thought for the Day from the 17th of April 2025. It was by Canon Angela Tilby, a retired Anglican priest in Oxford. Angela really is the gift that keeps on giving. At least, she is if you're hoping to receive a draught of reason. This one is pretty awful, but you should listen to Tilby's broadcast. It's a real car crash. Here's a quote from about 45 seconds in.
It's tempting in these days of so much conflict and dysfunction to lose hope, especially when we recognise the concealments that go into our politics and the rumours and speculations spread by social media.
Is it tempting? You know, generally, for all of us? Likely not, don't you think? You, Angela, may be tempted into hopelessness, but why pronounce that your listeners will be similarly lacking in resilience? And tell me more about these days of much conflict and dysfunction. So much compared to when? And what dysfunction? Compared to where? And what are these concealments that go into our politics? And if they are concealed, how do we know they are there? This is a pile-up of logical transgressions. We have a hanging comparison with much conflict, unsupported generalisation, groundless claims, and a pretty strong argument for incoherence. In these sentences from Angela, they are of little consequence, but each one distorts the truth, and each was so easy to avoid. But first, there's a real howler that needs some attention. Angela's invocation of conflict, dysfunction, and concealments are vague. They are speculative. In other words, they constitute groundless rumour. It's not social media that's spreading rumour and speculation. It's Angela chuffing Tilby. She also said,
at a time when, as a nation, we're unsure who our friends and allies really are, it's easy to conclude that our world is dark and getting darker.
When faith leaders are spreading vague and unsupported rumour on national radio while blaming others for doing the same, it can indeed be difficult to be sure who our friends really are. What Angela said about conflict and social media is so vague, it's impossible to determine what she may have meant. I suggest either she doesn't know or something prevented her from stating it clearly. Frankly, I suspect the former, but a charitable possible case of the latter is that writing what she meant would have made her uneasy. Perhaps what she really wanted to say was that Trump, Putin and Xi Jinping are liars, and Trump is spreading his lies by social media. And this is another reason some might feel hopeless. It's reasonable to imagine that publishing a statement like that through Radio 4 would invite an unpleasant backlash from, for example, MAGA Christians in the United States, not something perhaps a retired British priest would want to precipitate. That's still no excuse for such terrible writing. This is BBC Radio 4, the Today programme no less, 6 million weekly listeners. She's speaking in the middle of a significant news broadcast made possible by a huge team of extremely talented presenters, researchers, writers, producers, and no doubt many others. Failing to make her broadcast clear and accurate shows indifference and disrespect to the audience, to the BBC and to that team of professionals whose show she's hijacked for 3 minutes. And it was all so unnecessary. Through laziness or incompetence, and I very much suspect the latter, Angela deftly avoided a perfectly acceptable sentence, such as, "With all the reports of conflict and dysfunction that fill our newspapers, some could be tempted to lose hope." I mean, it barely has a pulse, but at least it contains no groundless assumptions, hanging comparisons, false claims, or factual inaccuracies. And they let this woman broadcast week after week after week. The phrase "till be delivered next," the meanderment on concealments, politics, speculation, and social media, is more problematic. We have no idea what she meant. We can, of course, take a guess. Maybe she meant something like, "Especially when, at the same time, the leadership of one of our strongest allies appears to have abandoned objective truth and has commandeered social media to spread propaganda." And if she felt uncomfortable reading out that second sentence, she should have cut it out. Anyway, what next? Oh yes, Tilby made a comment on the biblical account of creation.
The separation of light from darkness in the Bible is the basis not only of its cosmology, but its morality. God separates light from darkness, yet only the light is called good.
Really, Angela? Doesn't that seem like a bit of convenient cherry-picking? Let's back up a little. Well, let's back up a lot. All the way back to Genesis. Here's the whole of the relevant section among the best known of all biblical passages. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light, and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. It seems pretty plain from the above that God called only the light good because God was commenting on a specific change that was sought, not because there was anything intrinsically wrong with darkness. The first attempt at creating Earth was clearly a rough start, to which this God would be making revisions and additions. Allegedly, it was empty, formless, and dark, like this God has hit the centre of a potter's wheel and could now set about imposing orderly will on the misshapen lump. One could also infer from this passage that this God had no such problems with the creation of heaven. Apparently, our God in this story was able to knock out a perfectly acceptable heaven at the first go. Right balance of dark and light, acceptable mix of things that fly and things that walk, no aberrations of shape, no need for God's wind upon the surface of the heavenly waters to conjure up the desired alternatives to emptiness. Was the earth an afterthought? Had God not emptied the tube of universe creation goo? Figured it would be fun to see what would be possible with the dregs. Easy to see how dangerous it is attempting to draw meaning from a collection of ancient Hebrew scribblings. Back to that misshapen lump of earth. For the first edition, God summoned up some light. That faint crashing was the collapse of my pottery simile. The light was observed and God noted that the light was good. Perhaps we'll be safer with analogy than simile. So imagine building a shed in a field. It's a lovely field, but you want in it a shed. And upon finishing the shed, you punch the air and you celebrate cool shed vibes. You pronounce the shed to be good. Should we conclude that there is something wrong with fields that don't have sheds? There's certainly no reason to conclude that, given the available information, even if the field had not been described at the outset as lovely. There is still nothing there to suggest that a field is not at least as good as a shed. Not at least unless you're a retired Anglican priest who's presumably never approached the text upon which her religion is founded with anything even approaching curiosity. She, of course, has faith. And what use is curiosity when you have faith? She says later, "Honesty calls us to acknowledge darkness while seeking to live in the light." What on earth does this mean? Is the darkness just an absence of light? An absence of knowledge? A presence of evil? To be honest, it's indistinguishable from a Star Wars trailer. She also, for reasons I don't fully yet understand, says this.
Yet we still yearn for truth and believe that evidence and conscience, and for many of us, faith, can guide us to live with integrity.
It's not been my experience that enthusiastic Christians, and I acknowledge that there are exceptions, it's not been my experience that enthusiastic Christians yearn much for truth. Enthusiastic Christians tend to behave as though they have the truth. I've met one or two who demonstrate remarkable imperviousness to subsequent challenge of this truth by fact or philosophy. This is another unforgivably incoherent ramble from Angela Tilby. What does she have in store for us next time? Thank you for listening to the Second Thought podcast. Please visit secondthoughtfortheday.com for more information on who we are, what we do, and why. In short, we police the God slot on BBC Radio 4's Today programme, and we police it for accuracy. Now, we also police it for fun, but more on that another day. Some faithful presenters of this slot routinely pay little heed to logic or to fact, which results in a daily peppering of errors that it is as unjustifiable as it is unwelcome. This near routine deviation from accuracy should prevent the BBC out from pumping the God rubbish, as it runs counter to the BBC's editorial guidelines, which demand due accuracy. And until the BBC starts doing its job, we've made it our business, a business we find very entertaining, and we hope that you do too. For more, please search for Second Thought for the Day wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening to the Second Thought podcast. Please visit secondthoughtfortheday.com for more information on who we are, what we do, and why. Although, in short, we police the God slot on BBC Radio 4's Today programme, and we police it for accuracy. We also police it for fun, but more on that another day. Some faithful presenters of this slot routinely pay little heed to logic or to fact, which results in a daily peppering of errors that is as unjustifiable as it is unwelcome. This near routine deviation from accuracy should prevent the BBC out from pumping the God rubbish, as it runs counter to the BBC's editorial guidelines, which demand due accuracy. Until the BBC starts doing its job, we've made it our business. A business we find very entertaining, and we hope that you do too. For more, please search for Second Thought for the Day wherever you get your podcasts.